from sea to shining sea throughout the solar system and extending to interstellar regions beyond. This is the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Jerry Wills. I'm sitting in for Kevin tonight. He's recovering from a bad cold, so not to worry. Isn't anything too terrible as far as life-threatening goes. Kevin will be back with us, I'm sure, on Monday. So I'm going to be doing the show tonight. I have some ideas for the show, and I put it on Facebook a little earlier this evening. If you have been tagged into my Facebook page, you might have seen what it was I was talking about doing. It basically is me as the guest tonight. I know a lot of you have questions for me, and some of you have wanted to hear a little bit more about what my experiences have been where UFOs are concerned. Last night, the fellow that we had on, his name was Gordon Gianni Noto. Was very interesting, had some compelling information, and I found it to be a fascinating show. I hope you did too. But there were a few of you who either emailed or called and wanted me to go into a dissertation of my experience and inject that into that conversation. I didn't really feel that it was appropriate. I wasn't the guest. I was the interviewer. I was the one that was hosting the show, and it wouldn't have been appropriate for me to have gone into any of that. But based on the level of emails and phone calls after the show, there goes a truck. And, messages that I received, I figured, well, maybe I could go into it a little bit this evening. Now, what we're going to do, I'm going to take the first 30 minutes, and I'll talk some about the experiences that I've had. And then the next 30 minutes, we're going to switch off. We're going to go into areas that deal with healing. One of the things that I want to share with you this evening that I think many of you will find quite fascinating is how you can personally take a look at the human energy field for yourself. A lot of people talk about how it's visible, and I'm sure you've read about this if you're interested in that sort of thing. That's why you're here. You want to get answers. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to describe exactly how you can do it. And it'll be very clear, very simple, nothing mysterious, nothing strange, very nuts and bolts. In the second hour, we are going to go to the phones, and it's going to be caller-driven. So I'm expecting to get some phone calls from you this evening. If you're listening on the radio right now, I will be announcing the phone number. It's not the usual number, and I don't have it in front of me at this moment, but I'll make sure that you know what it is. And we'll go into whatever you want to talk about. If you have questions of me, that's fine. If you have questions about your experiences or healing or whatever, we're going to try to cover a broad range of things. And I think that this will be a very interesting show. I think it'll be interesting for me, and I certainly hope it'll be interesting for you as well. All right, That said, we've got a break for commercial, and in just a few minutes we'll be back and we'll begin, and I'll see if I can give you some ideas about what my experiences have been. All right, folks, see you on the other side of this break. Bye for a moment.
You know, one of the great benefits of being a member here at the Kevin Smith Show is that we have those special broadcasts in the members' community. On October the 8th, 2011, for example, I stood here in front of this camera and presented to you, live and free of charge, a seminar called Angels, Nephilim, and Anunnaki. I hope you got it. But if you didn't get in on it, it is available on demand now. It isn't free now, but it is available, and I hope you'll take the opportunity to watch it. I think you will agree it is a powerful seminar. Back to the members community. You know, we do special broadcasts from time to time, and all of the details are posted in the announcements forum. Be sure you check the announcements forum every day, because that's where we post all the inside information. Check the announcements forum and don't miss the next one.
Folks, we are back, and in case you're wondering, if you just tuned in, I'm Jerry Wills. I'm sitting in tonight for Kevin Smith, who's recovering from a bad head cold, and if you've ever had one, and I'm sure you have, you know that it's really hard to talk when you're coughing and sniffling, so Kevin will be fine. He'll be back with us, I'm sure, on Monday. And I'm looking forward to that, because I always look forward to watching the Kevin Smith Show, and I know many of you do as well. tonight what we're going to be doing is I'm going to be giving a basic rundown of my experiences in the past few decades that deal with UFOs. And it's not going to be just touching the high points. There's actually a couple points that I want to touch that have to do with something that our guest last night was talking about. And it was very, well, it had overtones of apocalypse and doom and destruction and change and very intense things. At one point, you know, it was, you know, like, well, where would you go? What would you do? And how would you manage this? And I don't know if you know, I his information was very good. And he's not the only person. I'm not picking on him. The thing is, there are a lot of folks who are out there talking about doom and gloom and some very serious destructive things that could very likely happen. And I say likely because it's an unknown. We don't know for sure if it will or not. But it's a scenario that could take place. And it's scary. You know, if you think about it, here you are living your life, planning your future, doing the things that any normal, rational person would do, thinking about, okay, well, I'd like to go to Hawaii sometime this year, or, gee, I'd really like to go with Jerry and Kathy to Peru, things like that. And for Kathy and I, we're sitting around talking about the things that we have planned. We want to finish part two of Kumbh Mayo. If you haven't watched that yet, it's on expeditionstv.com. And like yourselves, you're thinking about the things that are out there in the future that you want to do, that give your life some value and meaning and fulfillment. And along comes 2012 and all of the apocalyptic information that is comes along with it. How do you emotionally juggle this? So that's part of why I decided to do this evening. You've only heard the tip of the iceberg about this, folks. As we get closer and closer to December 21st of this year, you're going to hear a number of people who are going to have all kinds of theories and revelations and channeled messages and who knows what. And they're going to be talking about things that are based upon fear for the most part. And I think the reason for that is because fear sells. Fear is something that You might listen to, oh, it's going to be a nice day tomorrow, and the rest of the week it'll be sunny and warm. And that isn't a real shocker to you, unless you're living maybe up in the northern tier of states or on the east coast where snowstorms are on their way. But these are things that we take in stride. December 21st, 2012, and the potential apocalypse. These aren't things we take in stride. So I wanted to tell you my version, what I know, and I'm just another voice in the crowd. So it isn't like this is something that you need to get your pen and paper out and say, Jerry said, da 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 da, and start broadcasting it to the world. I'm broadcasting it to the world right now. We're all over the world as I speak. It isn't something that, the information isn't something that I fully intend you to embrace or to fully doubt. It's just another possible answer for what you're going to be hearing in the next few months. And I assure you, there are going to be a lot of folks that are going to be going public with their version of what this all means. And I'm just one of those folks. So I'm going to tell you, it was back when I was in my teen years when contact first happened for me. The type of contact that is classic. Close encounters of the fourth kind. This is where I actually had the opportunity to meet, sit down, and discuss things with the folks who were in the UFOs. And in its first few inceptions, the first few meetings, I really wasn't that sure about who these folks were. I was a teenager, after all. I was growing up in the hills of Kentucky, and I really didn't know very much about any of this at that period of my life. It wasn't until I actually saw them land, because up to the point that I was speaking with these folks, it was one man in particular. It was a meeting that was back in the woods, and really quite innocuous. I would go back, and he would show up, and we would sit and talk for a while, and he'd be gone. When it finally came to the point to where he showed up, having landed in a large silvery disc, it was, I'm guessing, 35, 40 feet in diameter, that's when it was a real eye-opener for me, because he had told me that that's how he moved about, but until you see it, you really don't know what to think about it. So it was during the period of time, it was about a 4 or 5 year period when this was going on, somewhat frequently, every week or two. During this period of time, he and a few of the others who came with him started talking about 2011, 2012, and how there were going to be a lot of changes that were going to take place, and it was going to start taking place. Actually, the inception of how it would take place would begin in the early 90s, 91, 92. And there's a period of time where things would build and build and build, and then we would get to 2012. But in all of these conversations that I had with them, the one thing that stands out to me is that there was never any discussion or discourse about how the world was going to come to an end, or there were going to be enormous cataclysms that were going to wipe people off the face of the earth. Many of the things that they told me about dealt with the social environment of this world. It also dealt with sickness, illness, pestilence, things of this nature. There were a few things that they told me that led me to believe that they had the ability to see or had already experienced these future events. They did show me some things on a screen, on a thing that I just called a cube. I didn't know what exactly it was, but it was a device that showed video, what we would call video images now. And there were a few things that they showed me that were rather startling. And if you look back in time between, let's say, the early 90s until now, I'm sure you've seen things on your video viewing unit that were equally startling. So having seen this sort of thing when I was a kid, and they're saying these are things that will take place, at that period of time, it was not only hard to believe, but it was frightening, because I didn't have any point of reference for this whatsoever. The bottom line for all of it is that the information that people are going to be talking about in the months to come, maybe they're right, I don't know, I have a feeling that what I was told, since everything else I was told by these folks, has come to pass, and it seems to have been very good information from my perspective. It was information that I've come to be very comfortable with now. So when I hear things about, apocalypse and apocalyptic events, I think I like the word apocalypse, don't you? When I hear these things, it just doesn't really hit a chord in me of being truthful or accurate. I suppose with time, we will all have an opportunity to find out. But I think the most potentially destructive thing facing our existence on this planet is the loss of freedom. If we have gotten used to freedom and there's something that just continues to etch away at it, then I have a feeling that we'll get to a point to where we're not very comfortable with the circumstances. The one thing that I recall them telling me was that the level of apathy was going to be a standard. It was going to be how everyone lived, very apathetically, accepting things as they are and allowing things continue in a direction however it went. And I'm seeing that. Another thing they told me was something to do with global warming. And the global warming issue, of course, has been quite a hotbed of activity in the past few years, because there are people that are in one camp who are talking about global warming, and it's a fact. And people in the other camp who are saying, no, it's a fraud. The one thing that I recall that they told me about this was that during this period of time where we are at right now, that there was going to be some very intense things happening with our sun. And when that occurred, that it was going to change the temperature of the planet. I really didn't know then what that meant. But I was led to believe that it was going to have something to do with bigger storms and areas becoming warmer that normally weren't that warm. Now, one of the things that I have paid attention to, because having, you know, I'm sort of jumping into a little bit of I'm trying to remember some very key points as I'm talking to you, and I'm not being as clear and concise as I would like to be, I suppose. It's a little different sitting in front of a camera instead of sitting in front of an audience where you can actually see the people. But one of the things that that was very interesting to me had to do with how the sunspots, how the sun, it wasn't sunspots, those weren't mentioned, but it was how the sun was going to influence the earth and how that influence was going to cause more volcanoes to become active and more earthquakes to occur. And I've seen evidence of that, so have you. You've seen some really amazing things happen in the past few years that I don't think there's any precedent for. It seems that earthquakes and volcanoes have dominated our thoughts and our consciousness the past 5, 6, 7 years. When I think about the earthquakes that have happened, and I consider what I hear on the news, one of the things that I'm not hearing on the news anymore is this. There was a big earthquake, of course, you know, the one in Japan. But there was one before it that was in Christchurch, New Zealand. And there was one before it that was in Chile. There was another one that was in the Indian Ocean. These newscasters would come on and they would say that it was so powerful that it altered the Earth's rotation on its axis by, what was it, 2 or 3 degrees. Every time there was an earthquake like this, they came on and said, scientists say that the Earth's axis has been, you know, tampered with now because of this earthquake, and it's now a few degrees different than it was. And every earthquake, they would mention that. What I'm not hearing now is if there's any writing of the Earth on its axis. Scientists aren't saying anything about that, and I'd like to find out. If there are any scientists listening, call in and let us know, because I'm curious about this. And the reason I'm curious has to do with Texas. You see, for most of the summer, Texas was under this very predominant high pressure zone, and it caused this enormous drought in Texas. If you live there, you know what I'm talking about because you've lived it. But for the rest of you worldwide who are listening, it really devastated Texas. Animals died, crops died, the earth cracked. It was terrible. And this massive high pressure dome just sat over Texas. And they were saying that the jet stream seems to have been slightly altered because it wasn't coming along to disrupt this high pressure zone. So I'm wondering, was that there as a result of the earth being slightly knocked off of its axis, or some other wobble that had taken place due to these earthquakes? And could that also be the reason why a lot of places that normally have snow in December didn't have any? For example, in Nebraska. We were in Nebraska for Christmas. It was 60 degrees. And that's just really hard to believe because, well, that's the Great White North. That is to me. It's usually really cold there, and it wasn't. There are other parts of the world that equally are affected, so I just can't help but wonder, you know, is the sun responsible? Are the earthquakes responsible? Fill in the blanks. It's the end times? Well, that's a nice generalized answer, but I like to look for specifics. And I'm sure you'll have some interesting comments about this when we open the phone lines here in another, almost half an hour. And I'll be happy to talk about it with you. So we're approaching the next break. And when we get back from this break, I'll wrap this part of it up. And then we'll go into the healing aspect of it. I want to share some things with you that you might find useful. So, without wasting any more time, let's just take a moment. Don't go away. I'm glad you're here. Kevin's glad you're here. And we'll see you in just another couple of minutes. Be right back, folks.
Turn out the radio. Quick!
Anti-aircraft guns went into action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area. The unidentified object required nearly 30 minutes to travel some 25 miles. Army officials declined to comment on the possibility that the object might have been a blimp.
I wish I could see this.
If this kind of thing is happening in 1942, just imagine what it's going to be like in the year 2000. UFO stories will be in the news all the time. Every day.
We know. By the time the year 2000 came around, mass media became little more than just trivia. And real information could only be found on places like The Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you.
back, folks. Nope, kill that. There you go. We're back, folks. I have our son Jordan here running the boards for me this evening. And before the show's over, I'm going to have him make a cameo appearance and say hello to all of you so you have an idea who's doing this. He's doing a really great job so far. recently, just, I don't know, it was within this last week, I was a guest with James Gilliland on his show. And one of the things that I mentioned on the show with James, I think is very important to mention here, it has to do with UFOs and contact and so forth. Some of you probably heard that. But for those of you who didn't, and I'm sure there's quite a few of you who have not, what I had discussed with James was in relation to the UFOs that he sees up on his ranch up in Washington State. The lights, they come on bright, they go down dim, here's some here, here's some there, they're moving about and so forth. And one of the things that I felt might be important to tell James, and I'll tell you as well, it's a real simple thing for you to do. If you have some binoculars, you're already one step closer to doing this. I was told back in, the mid-90s. I don't remember when the Phoenix Lights happened, but it was just prior to that. I was in Peru and I met up with a fellow. His name was Rich. And he said that he was a Pleiadian. Long story short, he told me one of the methods that a person could use in order to find out who it is that's flying these ships. And briefly, what it is this. Take a little photo detector. You can get them at Radio Shack. They're just a few dollars. And attach it to one side of the binoculars. Mount the binoculars onto a tripod. Take the leads off of that and put it over to a recorder. Pretty simple stuff. It's slightly more complicated than that, but basically what you're wanting to do is capture the light, put it into this device. It's just like a photo transistor or a small photo cell. And that light has information on it that you can possibly decode and pull the information off the light. Now, it wasn't clear to me if this is sound or data. Or both. I haven't tried it. I really haven't had any need to. And I've not really thought much in terms of making this information public until now. And I can't explain why now seems to be the time to do it. But I think that if you have just a little bit of expertise or have a friend who has a little bit of expertise, you could take a photo transistor, put it into a chip, a small integrated circuit, op amp, and take that and do a hook it into a recorder and record the light that's coming off of the UFOs. That light is going to be very particular. It's going to be very specific in what it has contained within it. Rich told me that this light gives them the ability to identify what the craft is, where it's from, and who's in it. That information is broadcast all the time, and that you can tell by looking at the light what the details are. You can also find out what its power source is and a variety of other pieces of information, but I would presume that you would need to know what the details are of how to decipher that information. So I put it out there to the scientific community, if you're listening, or anyone who might be interested in trying to do this. Capture the light. Make a digital recording, not on tape. It needs to be digital. It needs to be a very high sample rate, probably 96 kilohertz sample rate or higher. And let's see what you capture. I'm almost completely positive that if you capture this light and you forward it to me, that I'll work with you to figure out what the details are contained within the light, if there are any. If, you know, what I was told or it was accurate. I don't know if it was or not because I haven't tried this. But if you want to do that and we end up with something, then I'm sure there will be a future show with Kevin or me to discuss the details. So we're looking forward to your participation, and I'll work on a schematic diagram, and when I have one ready, I will let Kevin know, and then we can let you know so that you have an opportunity to try this out. I'm watching the time. I'm not automated, so anyway, on to the next subject, and that has to do with healing, health and healing. A lot of folks, and you know what I'm talking about when I mention this, they talk about the aura, how you can see the aura around somebody, and then, of course, you might be one of the many who takes a look and goes, well, I really don't see anything, and you struggle and strain. You're trying to see it. You try to see it, and you just don't, and that's just frustrating. I know, because I've taught quite a few classes where the folks just were so disempowered. So-and-so says my aura is golden and blue and whatever, and I don't see anything. And when I try to see an aura around someone else or a plant or a flower, I don't see anything at all. Well, one of the things that I believe is a serious tenet of being a teacher and showing people how to do things, if you can't show them how it's done, then it's going to basically mean that you are better than they are in this respect, that you have the talent they don't. And I don't like that. I like to be on a level playing field with the folks that I deal with. If I can see an aura, I want to show you how to. If I can work on someone and take away their pain or whatever's hurting them, then I want you to be able to. I want this to be something that we can share, not something that makes me stand out and better than somebody else. It isn't about being better than. It's about being able to. And I think that this is a state of empowerment. And I believe that if you're empowered, that's going to cause you to ask questions that will lead you down a path of finding answers. You might not ask the right question, and you might get an answer, and it turns out not being exactly the answer that you wanted, but it leads to more questions, and so on. So what I'm going to do tonight, before we open the phone lines, and let's see here, the next break's coming up. We have time. I want to show you how to see an aura. I want to describe it to you. I want to give you the details how you can do this for yourself. When you get to the point to where you start seeing the aura, well, I guess until you see it, you really wouldn't understand. So let me tell you how to see it first. This is very simple. It's easily done. So if you're wanting to see auras, I'll explain to you exactly how I do it and how I teach others to do it. And for those of you who are listening who took my class, as Kathy and I were traveling around the United States this summer, quite a number of folks saw the aura for the first time, and they were really blown away. They had a good time doing this. We were using something called a light pad, which is something that I developed when I was 18 years old. I won't go into the reasons why, because it's who cares. But this is a light pad. It uses a specific frequency of light that allows for the human energy field to become illuminated. And there's another way. Using the light pad is not the only way. The trick with the light pad is that it's using a specific frequency of light. Sunlight has that same frequency of light, as does like one of the studio lights here. We've got a couple of components involved with all of these different lights. If it's fluorescent lights, forget it. It's not going to work. It's actually going to dampen the field to the point where you won't see anything. The components that are in incandescent light or this LED light, light-emitting diode light, and it's red, that's the one you'd want to use specifically. It doesn't flash, it doesn't flicker. It's just on, just like a light bulb is just on. Here's how you do it. And you can also use a candle. Here's how you do it. The room has to be completely dark. You need to have the highest possible contrast between what you're lighting up and the rest of the room. So let's say we're going to light up my hand. Now, if you take a look behind me, it's just dark. I'll move out of the way. And so this is how you would do it. You would take the light in a totally dark room, and the light is hitting only your hand. And you're gazing into a dark area once again, because it's the only thing lit up in the room after all. You breathe nice and steady. You don't take shallow breaths. You take nice deep breaths. You relax and take at least 3 deep breaths. The reason for that is because you take 3 deep breaths, it changes your physiology. It puts your body into another state of being altogether. After the 3rd breath, you keep breathing just normally. You don't want to hyperventilate or get yourself dizzy. Watch what you see around your hand. What you're going to see initially is going to be like a fog. It's going to look like your hand has a glow about it, perhaps. If you continue watching, you can take another deep breath and let it out slowly, even blowing across your fingertips, and just look at them and just beyond them. Soften your focus. You'll begin to see the energy field. It'll light up. It's always been there, and now you're able to see it. Now, to do this with a candle, or with a quartz light, flashlight, you know, anything. All it requires is that the light is only hitting the object, like your hand, and nothing else. With a little bit of practice, getting your mind to agree, because the reason you're not seeing it is because your mind, the intellectual portion of your mind is not going to agree that this is possible. But once you've seen it this way, then those deeply embedded rules, let's call it rules, of what you've learned are going to become somewhat dissolved. And those rules will eventually slip away and slip away until one day you'll be looking around and you'll see energy around everything. And when that moment comes, you'll have to then decide, is this something that I want to see all the time? Seeing energy is not impossible, and it's not just for the gifted. It's for everyone. It's for you, it's for me, it's for everyone listening. This is not an impossibility, and it isn't relegated to the few who have some incredible psychic gift. You have a psychic gift as well. And when we come back from the next break, I'm going to take you a step further with this so that you'll be able to take your ability to the next level. Because what if you already see the aura? Well, there's something very unique that you can do once you can see the aura. So might as well go to that next step as well. We've got a break coming up. On the other end of this break, I'll go a little bit further into this with you. Don't go away, folks. I'll see you in just a moment.
Hi, this is Kevin Smith, and I have a question for you. What do you see? People walking? Well, it is that, but those are experts. Everyone you meet is an expert at something. For example, have you ever gone into a store, say, a Home Depot? You had a question about paint. And the person working there in the store was able to answer that question and help you with your purchase. Who was the expert? You No, you had the question. It was the person working there who was the expert. We are all equally experts. Thanks for being an expert here at the Kevin Smith Show.
We're back. The second part of this, which you can do with it, taking it a little bit further. I think you'll have a lot of fun with this if you are successful in seeing your aura, which I'm sure you will be. Most everyone that I've ever described this process to who tried it was able to see things quite clearly. So consequently, what I would suggest that you do next with this is start playing with it, and this is where it takes it to the next level. If you have a family member or someone who has, for example, a sore arm or they're not feeling well or something's wrong, try this. Once you've gotten to where you can see the aura, the first thing is, of course, seeing the field around you. The second thing is to start breathing and start using both hands and start pulling that energy between your fingertips, and it'll start looking very luminous for you. The third thing is take your hand and watch what I'm doing. You want to practice this because you're going to want to try it. You're just going to take your hand and just start slowly doing like so, just slowly moving it. And watch the fingertips. Don't let your eyes follow the fingertips. Look beyond, but just see the fingertips as you're moving your hands like so. Just a nice, slow rhythm. Breathing all the while. You'll see streamers of energy coming off of your fingers. At that point, your mind is allowing you to see the energy. And now you can see it. Color, that's unimportant. It doesn't matter what the color is. Color is subjective. Color is going to be whatever you decide color is supposed to mean. So if someone tries to tell you that red means this or blue means that, that's baloney. It doesn't mean anything except what it means to you. Now here's where it gets interesting. If you take a person who has something that isn't quite right, you know how to do this part. You've been practicing this part, getting the energy to flow between your fingers, doing like so, seeing it streaming off of your fingertips. Now, go to the point where the person has the infirmary, where they have something wrong. Put your fingertips right up against and just feel. Breathe and feel. You can touch the skin. You can touch through the clothes. The clothes don't matter. They're transparent to this. Breathe and feel. When you get to a point where you can sense where there's something going on, it's at that point that, and you'll get a tangible response. You'll feel this. Leave your fingertips there. Maybe put your whole hand there. Close your eyes. Start breathing. And with every breath you take in, you're charging up, and with every breath you let out, intellectually, you're blowing out energy, and you know this because you've seen it, so it's easy for your mind to accept. You're blowing out energy from your hand into this area. Take your time. You might feel at some point that you want to lift your hand up, but you can't, and that's because you've made that connection and it isn't finished. Allow it to continue and continue, and then finally you'll feel your hand release and you'll be finished, and then find out if it helped them. Let me know. Let me know what your experiences are. I'd be very curious to find out. And this is basically the process. It's a very elemental process. It's something that you were born with, that is yours, that you can do. And you don't have to worry about having any prior experience. You don't have to worry about being a student in any particular philosophy. The most important thing that you can do beyond the things that I've told you is to remember that if you are feeling love for the person that you're working with, then it's going to work a lot better. If you're angry, it's not going to work. If you dislike the person, it's not going to work. You have to get past all of that. You have to get to a point where you're breathing in love and feeling it, and you're releasing it with your breath. That allows the energy to flow. And if you try the experiment where you can see the energy through your fingers, you can actually see how it diminishes if you start feeling angry. Think about something that makes you angry or something that upsets you. It'll just go away. You won't be able to see it at all. Or if you hold your breath, you won't be able to see it at all. So experiment with this. See what you come up with. Find Find out what it's like to take the next step in human evolution. This is yours. We're at 2012, and this is the time when the great awakening and the great potentials, I think, are right there for all of us to take a hold of and to start using. You see, with all of the doom and gloom and all the predictions of things that might happen, the most powerful prediction that I could make and present to you is a prediction that if you learn how to manage the energy that runs through you and use this creative ability, this creative force, really, then imagine what you want the future to be and then create it. You aren't meant to be here simply as bystanders, but there are so many bystanders walking the earth right now. I call them the walking dead. They're asleep. But you, obviously, listening to this program, aren't. So be active in creating the next moment. Be active in creating a future that is a future that's appealing to you. And if all of you were to do that, well, think of it this way. One of the things that I like to do when I'm at a restaurant, especially if it's a really good spoon, is just fiddle with it and then bend it up in a curlicue. Kathy has a collection of them somewhere in a box. We found one in my coat just the other day. Now imagine if a person can use this energy to do that. What could 100 people do who focused that energy in one direction? What synergistic value might there be? You can only imagine, because who knows? But if we took it a step further and we said, all right, let's say, for example, that we had 1,000 people who could do this and actually learned how to link up and project this energy in unison. That's going to be a lot of energy, a huge potential, more than you can imagine. But you're going to need to imagine it, because it should happen eventually. But let's say that the 12th planet, Nibiru, Planet X, whatever it is, let's say that that's a reality. And in that reality, it's coming and there's nothing that can be done about it. What if that 1,000 people decided it really wasn't necessary and they just basically made it go away? Now, I know that sounds rather far-fetched, but I've seen some pretty amazing things that only one person did. Things that I would not have ever believed was possible. This is in your hands. The future is part of what you will make it because of what you decide. All right, folks, we're going to be heading out for another break. We'll be back right after this. right, folks, and we're back. Thanks for waiting along with us during that break. It's always encouraging to look into the camera and see so many people looking at their computer screens, and I can hear in my headphones all that traffic from the folks that are driving around in their car or listening on their cell phone. I hope what I've told you in this last hour, and if you missed the last hour, well, I'm just real sorry about that. But if you did, you can always go to the archives, and Kevin will have it up there, you know, later tonight or tomorrow, so you can take a look at it then. But I hope what I told you has served a good purpose and that it enables you to become somewhat empowered. I enjoy that kind of thing. I like seeing people realizing the best about themselves. I think that's how we all bring about change within ourselves and within the world and the area around us. We're going to be opening up the phone lines. As you can see, the number is on the screen for those of you listening on the radio. That number is 602-218-5339. That's 602-218-5339. I'll be repeating that again shortly. We have someone on the phone already. So let's take the first caller. Let's see who this is. Hello, caller. You're on the Kevin Smith Show with Jerry Wills. And there's that annoying call waiting bell, isn't it? Your name and where are you calling from, please?
This is Tony from Denver.
First caller.
Yep.
How you doing, Tony?
Hey, hello, Jordan. Hello, Jerry.
Yep. Come here. Here's Jordan's cameo appearance. He's running the boards for
How's
us.
How's it going tonight, Tony? Good seeing you. Hello, world.
Yeah, Jordan's out here living with us right now, Tony. He came in from Nebraska.
Well, Jerry, I wanted to ask you about your regularly scheduled visitations by the extraterrestrials.
Yeah, absolutely. The in the past, the visits had taken place in person, and they were quite extraordinary. What's happened in the past few months have been a series of events that seems to be leading me into a bit of a, well, onto a path, let's say. I've been given instructions, suggestions, and not that I'm being instructed at all, but I've been given some suggestions. Thank you, sweetie. There's Kathy. She doesn't want to get on the camera, but I have coffee. I'm being given some information on a place that I need to go to for the contact to take place. I don't really know why I have to go to this place. I don't really know what to expect. If it's anything like the past, and there have been a few times when this sort of thing has happened, where I was told I needed to go someplace, a good example of that was when I was 28. That was one of the first contacts, and I was told to go to this area up in the desert, and I eventually found that I was going to be there one way or the other. And in that particular instance, I met up with them, and I was given something by them. Now, maybe that's the reason why the contact hasn't occurred here, where we're living. We've moved. We're not in Phoenix anymore. We're up in Cottonwood, Arizona, which is about 100 and some miles north of Phoenix. It's right close to Sedona. So I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to make that journey and find out what the details are.
Hey, you said you could bend spoons. Can you levitate anything?
No. I've tried to do that. You know, the problem that I have with doing things like this, and I've told you about my friend who's now deceased, Safwat. Dr. Safwat El-Amin was really amazing. And I've kind of shied away from doing public demonstrations of being able to do things. Some of the rudimentary things, like up in Salt Lake City once, a crowd of about 300 people. That was my first experience where I did what I was talking about earlier, and I was broadcasting light off of my fingers, about 18 inches off my fingers, for this large crowd to see in a darkened room. And about half the people got up and left, and the other half stayed, and I showed them how to do it as well. In the minds of those who were there, there are only two people that can do something like that, either Jesus Christ or the devil, and they knew it wasn't Jesus Christ, so they decided they best leave. So doing public displays, I've kind of shied away from doing that. So levitating, no, I've not been able to levitate. I have tried. I thought it would be kind of interesting to. My friend, Dr. Safwat El-Amin, had promised that he would teach me how, because he could. He could not just levitate himself. He would just do that to, just put his hands towards a person and start saying some things, and they would just float up in the air. And I'm telling you, if you've never seen something like that, it really boggles your mind. You just sit there staring at this like, am I really seeing this? What is going on? It just completely is a mind bender. So, no, I haven't levitated. Not yet.
Well, one last question for me, Jerry, and then I'll open up the phone for someone else to get in.
All right.
Could you talk maybe for a second about your book, and then is there any new information that you can tell us about Ingo Swann? And thanks for taking my call, Jerry.
All right. Well, it's really good hearing your voice, Tony. And best wishes to your family and children and your mom and dad.
Yeah, well, it was good to see Jordan again. Thanks, Jerry.
Hey, you bet. let's see. About the book, it's my fault that it isn't finished. I need to rewrite it in first person, and I'm still struggling with that. My problem is that I find it really difficult to write about myself. Rod Haberer has written the book in a journalistic approach where he's documenting and fulfilling the obligations of a journalist of what he's seen and what the details are. But some of the publishers that we've discussed this with, they all agree that it needs to be written in first person, which is me writing it. The thing is that I've got it about 75% done. I still have some I have to do. So hopefully sometime this year I'm going to do my best to get it finished. Now about Ingo Swann, I just spoke with Ingo just a few days ago, and he's doing well. You know, he's getting on in the years, but he's doing well, and that's about all I can say about that.
All right, well, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call, Tony. Folks, phone lines are now open, and we have another call. Stand by. Let's see who this is. Hi, this is Jerry Wills. You're on the Kevin Smith Show. Your name and where are you calling from, please?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Jerry?
Yes.
Hi, this is Victoria.
Hello, Victoria.
Hi. I got really excited when you did your aura demonstration on how to. And if you don't mind, I'd like to add something to that, which absolutely everybody can do at any time. If you went out, do you mind if I tell that?
Sure, just make it quick because we have a bunch of folks calling.
Yeah, it's real quick. If you go out in the morning or in the late afternoon, you know, when it's kind of low in the sky, and you have this, you stand like on either on the grass or on a concrete surface, and you put the sun, you know, to your back. You have the sun to your back, and you look at your shadow, and you can see this light-colored aura all around the silhouette of your body that's on the shadow reflecting on the grass or on the concrete. And you can, just like you showed with your hands, you can take your hand and just kind of make these slow, wavy circles above your head, and you can see these little streamers of, it's kind of like a, you use the soft eye technique, you know, like a, just kind of blur your vision a little bit, kind of squint down and look with a real soft eye.
Mm-hmm.
And you can literally see this field probably anywhere from 2 to 4 inches surrounding, you know, especially around your head and especially around your hands. And as you move your hand through the air with the sun at your back and look at the shadow, just look at the shadow on the ground,
mm-hmm.
you can see these streamers running right off of your fingertips, and it's just the coolest thing. And anybody can do it. Absolutely instantly, and all you need is you know, late afternoon or early morning sunshine, and it's just the coolest thing. And I just wanted to call in and add that, and you know, with your experiment, and absolutely everyone's been able to do it. Even people that say, "Ah, that's not going to happen," it happens. It just happens. It's there, and it has something to do with the sunlight, you know, being at a certain angle going through the auric field, which is, you know, a little bit thicker and denser as it comes through at that particular angle, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just makes it easier to see. But do kind of squint down, but especially right around your head and your shoulders, you know, from the shoulders to the top of your head to your other shoulder. You can just see, with the soft eye look, you can just see this brighter. You think, oh, it's just an optical illusion, but it's not. It's your aura, and you can just see that around from shoulder to the top of your head and to your other shoulder, and it just stands right out. And if you're on grass, which is green, it kind of has sort of a yellow, almost a yellowish cast. So right next to your shadow, which is kind of dark and, you know, blackish or whatever, you know, as a shadow is,
mm-hmm.
You just see this brighter light on the grass, and it just kind of makes the grass turn sort of yellowish. It's just cool. Anyway, I'll get off the line. I just wanted to let you know on that, since you were teaching about auras and how to see them. And absolutely everyone can do it, from kids to adults to old people. So thank you very much, and thanks for your thing, too, because that was really cool. I just did it, and it works.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks for the call, Victoria.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, lines are open. I finally figured out during that call how to turn off the call waiting. This is a new line. And, you know, sometimes it just gets mind-boggling. Hopefully everything is running as it ought to now, and it'll be a little bit better overall for the show. So the lines are open, and I think we have someone online. Let me just take a quick look and see. Nope, nobody there. So you can give a call. The number is 602-218-5339. And, you know, that's really interesting, what Victoria was talking about. I have seen that myself, and it's just another method to fully illustrate what you can do. Caller, you are live on the air. Your name and where are you calling from, please?
Jerry, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Well, hello, Brent. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing, it's cold up here, you know? It's like 4 degrees in the morning.
Good heavens. And there's a lot of snow right now, isn't there?
Yeah, it's getting up to the mid-20s sometimes. But now, I'm going to ask you a couple questions and I make a comment or two. But
all right.
I watched a video the other day, and there's this guy who's a, you can call him whistleblower if you want. He said that supposedly in December of this year, sometime, he says it coincides with around the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
All the timelines are going to consolidate to be on one timeline, whatever that means. He said that he was able to get it down to two possibilities. One was either the ascension, which some people are talking about,
mm-hmm.
or the other one was this apocalyptic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the He said the powers that want to be, he calls them powers that be, I call them powers that want to be, they are so paranoid that they're hoping for the latter. So they're doing everything they can to make the people afraid. And he, his statement was, observe.
Mm-hmm.
Realize that this could be a false flag. They're just trying to get you built into their system of thinking so they can continue.
Well, you know what it does? What it does for everyone who's outside of this circle of either, well, let's say that they're not in what they don't consider themselves in a circle of those who would be in the ascension. And so they are already afraid, so the fear is going to just take over. I don't see how, you know, a statement that this fellow has made actually could be beneficial to the folks at large, because it basically insinuates that you need to be part of something or else you're going to be part of something that you won't like.
Yeah, that's true. Now, here's my question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this problem for years. Sometimes it happens when I'm taking a nap. Sometimes it happens when I'm trying to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
The random thoughts, I don't know where they originate from, but they create images in my mind. I've heard all this stuff about acknowledging them and letting them go. Is there any way you can program those thoughts and images to help you with your development?
Well, one of the things that comes to mind immediately with that, Brent, is that when you're trying to avoid the random thoughts, you're creating more of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the space between words is where you want to go, because
okay,
it's that silence that defines everything else.
Okay.
I don't know that that really answers your question or helps you to get to where you want to be, but you know, everyone's different, and I've had a few folks who are like this, two or three. And to tell you the truth, I've had my own share of this as well. From my own experience with it, all I can tell you is that I believe that my insecurities were keeping me from becoming as quiet as I might have been. And I do notice that whenever I'm anxious about something, I cannot get my mind to get quiet at all. So there might be something deep inside, at a very deep level. And I'm not talking deep like 3 or 4 inches. I'm talking, you know, subconscious of sorts, that would be afraid of the exposure of whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. And I know what you're trying to accomplish because you and I have had conversations about this. But there might be something deep-rooted, that there's a slight anxiety about what you're trying to achieve, and it's interfering with that. Maybe coming in touch with what that is would answer, would be the answer to your problem.
Any ideas how I could do that?
Well, I do have one idea, but it requires going to the Amazon. The other ideas that I have, well, the only thing that comes to mind perhaps is hypnosis, and that's about it.
I've tried that. I got the guy made a couple mistakes and didn't work, so maybe I'll look into it again. I sent you an email earlier today to respond to it when you get a chance.
I will.
But one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Kathy.
She isn't in here. She just walked out because she knew I was going to bring her down and say, give me my coffee right here. And then she would have her smiling face for everyone to see. But I'll tell her that you said hello.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Folks, the phone lines are open. Where are we at with time? Let's see here. We have a few more minutes. The thing that happens with a lot of folks when you're trying to get your mind quiet is that you're trying to get it quiet, and so therefore you're doing this inner dialogue. And in doing an inner dialogue, well, your mind's never going to be quiet, because First you're talking to it, then you're listening to it. When you're listening to it, you're hearing everything, as though it's a bit of a conundrum. The process that I was referring to with Brent in the Amazon actually involves going down and working with a shaman, and I know some very good ones. We have a caller. Hi, you're live. Your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Mike from Kentucky, Jerry.
Well, hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm doing good. Good to hear your voice, Mike. How's Kentucky?
Yep. Okay. One of the things you might want to pass on to Brad is that when all these random thoughts come to you during time of meditation, don't fight them, because to do so, you give them energy. Just let them run their course, and then they gradually just go away.
Well, that's good advice, and I'm sure Brent is listening and appreciates the heads up on that. It's a hard thing to do, and sometimes it is. I mean, until you get a handle on it, it's just really hard to do. But I found that some deep breathing exercises work for me, but that's not always the answer for everyone.
Sure. You know, on this, I'm not calling here to try to get involved or steal your thunder here on this aura thing. But one of the things I've always done, rather than first go to try and show people how to see an aura, is show them how to feel an aura just by bringing their hands close together and relaxing, like you said, and then feel the sponginess between the hands, and then gradually expanding that area.
Well, and you're absolutely right. Well, it looks like it's time for another break, Mike. Do you want to hang on or you want to let go?
Sure, I'll hang on a few more seconds.
All right. Folks, we'll be back in just a couple minutes, and we'll continue this fantastic evening. It's a lot of fun for me. I'm sure it is for you. Well, I hope it is for you. Anyway, let's go to break, and we'll be back right after this.
Montreal, and don't you find it a little strange that there's a lot of Kevins that listen to Kevin Smith? Expand your mind.
Individually, they're weak, mentally incompetent, like animals after a long famine.
They've been affected by Britney strain N1.
It's highly contagious and it's reached plague proportions.
But not everyone has been zombified by contagion BS number one.
But where are they? Where are they hiding?
Actually, they're people who live all over the world. They stay informed and keep mentally sharp by listening to one of the best radio show hosts on the planet.
Who is it?
Kevin Smith, of The Kevin Smith Show. Lots of people become members to get access to everything from the members area.
And you want me to join?
Listen to the show for a few weeks and you'll agree, becoming a member is certainly more than worthwhile.
are back. Fantastic. Glad you're here. In case you're wondering, if you just tuned in, I'm Jerry Wills. I'm sitting in for Kevin Smith this evening. Kevin's off tonight. He's playing bingo at the local church, and he's winning big time. I'm just kidding. He's not really playing bingo. Oh, that would be so funny, though. Can you just see that in your mind? Yeah. 45. Oh, bingo. We have a caller on the line, and let's go back. I think we were talking to Mike, weren't we? Is that you, Mike?
It's me. I'm still here.
Okay. Glad you hung in there through the break with us. What else did you want to discuss?
Well, first of all, I want to wish Kevin a speedy recovery, and but we don't want him coming back before, you know, rushing himself to come back, because if you come back too soon, next thing you know, you're off again, and we want him at full strength.
Well, I'm with you on that, and you know, when he's at full strength, that's scary.
Yeah, when he's on this show.
I know. Isn't he astonishing? I always marvel at how smooth and cool and absolutely just cuts right through it, you know,
exactly.
Like a sharp knife.
One thing that I think you and I probably would agree on is that what's going to happen, in, if anything, this year that affects us, it's going to happen, and neither you nor I are going to give a lot of energy to it, because we know that we have faced all of this, and we know that it's not in the end, it's just a change.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's why I keep a positive outlook on things. I think that you have a choice, and the choice to be afraid and to cower in fear or wonder where you can run to save your life, or you can stand up and say, this is how I would like it to be, so therefore let me create it in the image that's most appealing to me.
Right. Well, with that, I'm going to get off here so others can get on, and good show, Jerry, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for calling, Mike.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, the phone lines are open. The number is 602-218-5339. Oh, we've had some great callers tonight. You know, the thing that Mike was talking about, seeing, you know, feeling energy, I've run into a few folks who just absolutely couldn't see the field at all. And I, you know, in the beginnings, years and years ago, when I was starting to teach, I was wondering, what is going on? How can this be? But I've no answer, but I figure that everyone has their own unique talents, and because they have their own unique talents, they, they're special in their own way. We have a caller on the line. Your name and where are you calling from, please?
Jerry, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome. It's good to hear your voice.
Hi. One question. How old is Jordan?
Jordan is 23.
23. Oh, to be 23 again.
Oh, isn't that the truth? If I knew then what I know now, look out.
Well, just to have the bodies of the 23-year-olds.
Well, I don't know. I do. Just kidding.
You know, there must be something wrong with my phone, because I keep having trouble. I switched phones one time. I think I'm going to just put a hard line straight into the wall and try that. But last night you had Gordon Giannotti Noto.
Yes.
And he's a fantastic guest.
Yeah, he was great, wasn't he?
Yes. In fact, like I said, I was having trouble when I was talking with him. I'm going to re-listen to that on the K-Pod.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason people should become a member of the Kevin Smith Show.
Well, you know, I agree with you. There are so many of them there now. I mean, it's just, I don't know, there must be hundreds of them there. There's so much information that a person can get a hold of just by going to the members section.
Gordon mentioned that the ETs he was talking about were either the Zetas or the Pleiadians.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where the ETs came from, or from that you had your encounter with?
Well, close to where the Zetas are from. It's a nearby star called Tau Ceti.
Also, something Brent said made me think about the atomic explosions in the 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like after that there was more, you know, occurrences with the UFOs, although they've been, you know, through antiquity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that one of the guests said something about a time shift, that it caused a time rift? These explosions. Did you get any information about that?
No, not really. I think a lot of that is speculation. I've not been able to find any information personally that substantiates that. And in my conversations that I've had, this has not been part of the conversation. It was never mentioned or even alluded to.
Well, maybe I'll do some more research on that. Jerry, it's nice talking to you. I'm really having a hard time, so I'm not going to put anybody through listening to me not being able to really get a clear hearing of what you're saying. But hopefully a lot more people will call in.
All right. Well, thank you for calling, Jerome.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Good night for now. All right, folks. Lines are open. And I met while I was out in at the Mesa Healing Arts Center in Pittsburgh. Jerome showed up, and it was really a pleasure to have a chance to meet him. He's a really neat person, and I'm glad he called. It's good to hear his voice. If you're in the Pittsburgh area, you might want to look into checking out the Mesa Healing Arts Center. It's run by the Silverbergs, and yeah, they're fine folks. Yeah, you know, with the information that I was exposed to with the contacts, you know, maybe I just didn't know to ask. But nothing like this was really ever mentioned. But if it comes up to pass that I talk with them again, then I certainly will remember to ask about it. You're live on the air. Your name and where are you calling from, please?
This is Steve from Georgia, Jerry.
Hello, Steve. How are you? Steve, are you there?
Hello?
I think you need to turn down your radio on the other end, Steve.
I am. I'm barely hearing you.
Well,
hold on. Let's see if I can turn the volume up on my phone. This is Steve from Georgia.
Yeah. You need to turn down your radio.
All right, I'm doing fine, thank you, and it's wonderful to make contact with you.
You're going to need to turn down your radio, Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll do that.
All right.
We're doing that as we speak here.
All right. That's all right. It happens.
Lori, can you turn that down? All right, we're on it. I'm sorry. I'm eating up air time here.
That's all right. How's Lori doing tonight?
Oh, she's fine. She's scrambling around here. All right. All right, I'm back.
All right.
And Jerry, I want to express my my gratitude for the important information and the vibrations you're putting out tonight. And I would like to exhort the listeners to continue to think positive thoughts, send out positive waves, and to project the future that they want. I know there's a lot of fear-based stuff coming out of Tavistock and Langley and Denver and other places. A lot of the apocalyptic messages of all kinds of earthquakes and floods and fires and doom and gloom is coming out to herd a lot of people into a fear-based region in their minds. And when the mind is operating out of fear, it's easy to control. They know where you are when you're afraid.
Yeah.
And a person is made ineffective when they're living in fear. But if we can open our hearts and minds to the fact that we are more than that which is affected by planetary conditions, that we are indeed spirits, we are vast, vast eternal beings who are using these biological transducers called bodies to enjoy the experience here on Earth, that you know, we are indeed co-creators of the conditions that we experience, and that if we can lift ourselves out of fear and put ourselves into that place of how can I call it, empowerment, that we can actually affect the future, we can affect the present, and I would just join you, Jerry, in exhorting the listeners to live in that place, to be in the place of empowerment, you know, and to know that they don't have to listen to the next message of doom and gloom and to concentrate all their energy on scrambling around and listening, or rather trying to figure out how am I going to survive the next horror, what nightmare is coming upon us. You know, that's all clouds. That's all mind control stuff that's being flooded into you that you don't need. You know, instead, we need to stand in a place of clarity and
yep.
realize that from that point of clarity, all things issue. And we're standing dead center in it. And I appreciate, Jerry, your message. It seems to point that way. And I would just exhort the listeners to stand there too.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the call, and I appreciate the sentiment. That's very well said. We have a break coming up. Do you want to stay online, or you want to take off now?
No, I'm good now. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling. Good to hear from you. Folks, we'll be back in just a short minute or two. Looks like we have a 5-minute break, so don't go away. I have a good feeling that something amazing is just ahead, and you don't want to miss it. See you at the other end of this break.
You know, one of the great benefits of being a member here at the Kevin Smith Show is that we have those special broadcasts in the members' community. On October the 8th, 2011, for example, I stood here in front of this camera and presented to you, live and free of charge, a seminar called Angels, Nephilim, and Anunnaki. I hope you got it. But if you didn't get in on it, it is available on demand now. It isn't free now, but it is available, and I hope you'll take the opportunity to watch it. I think you will agree, it is a powerful seminar. Back to the members community. You know, we do special broadcasts from time to time, and all of the details are posted in the announcements forum. Be sure you check the announcements forum every day, because that's where we post all the inside information. Check the announcements forum and don't miss the next one.
And we're back, folks. Thanks for hanging with us through that break. I'm Jerry Wills, sitting in for Kevin Smith this evening. Phone lines are open. We're going to take one more call, maybe two, on final approach. And then there's a couple of announcements that I have for everyone who has stuck with the show this far. A couple things I think that are important that I want to bring to your attention. So until the phone lines ring, I'm just going to go right into that. Number one, we have a good friend. Her name is Tara Golden. She's going to be doing a documentary. And, you know, Kathy and I are really big into doing this sort of thing with Expeditions TV. I'm sure you've seen, you know, if you haven't, you should go see them. It's expeditionstv.com, spelled with an X, expeditionstv.com. There are a lot of videos up there. Well, our friend Tara Golden is going to produce a documentary about the Tarahumara Indians. They're the only race, culture rather, I guess they're a race of Indians that live in the Copper Canyon in Mexico. And it's amazing. These folks, they can run 50 miles or 100 miles without stopping. She's going to do a documentary about them. And what I'm asking you to do is to go to expeditionstv.com. You'll see at the top of the page, there's a link there that is about the Kickstarter program. And you can click that and find out more about what Tara is doing. And there are some rewards that she's giving to people who are supporting her efforts to make this. She needs to get a sum of money together to go and make this documentary. She's very active, very involved in doing this. And I urge you, for Kathy and I, if you're a listener and you're interested, go there and take a look at this. I think that you'll find that it's a worthwhile effort. We have a call on the line. Your name and where are you calling from, please? Hello?
Oh, hello, Jerry. It's Jackie from Florida. You're kind of breaking up a little bit. I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right, Jackie. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to call and kind of reiterate what the gentleman before me was saying about how it's nice to hear a calming voice when all the others kind of keep screaming and to scare us, and which leads to taking away our freedoms. And I really appreciate you. And this evening of kind of leading us to try like the, well, some of us would say laying on of hands. Oh, by the way, the group who got up and left when the light was streaming from your hands,
yeah,
obviously didn't remember the part about how those of us who came later would be doing greater things. So I'm into kind of following your instructions here and seeing if we can get some good things rolling.
Well, you know, and I appreciate that, and I agree with you completely. when it was abrupt. It was just abrupt. They got up. And they just left 150 people milling out and just walking out. And
very strange.
I said, well,
no, I keep waiting for the signs that are better and bigger than what came. And I know that they must be coming during these times, because that's usually during the worst times is when the best stuff shows up also.
Well, that's when the most impetus, perhaps, for people,
yes,
to look deep inside and bring out the best of themselves. I assure you, you cannot bring out the best in others if you do not give them the best of yourself.
This is true. This is very true. And also, interesting, anytime you can tell us a story about Mr. Sofwat would be wonderful. Those are fascinating. What a fascinating man you got to meet there.
Yeah, you know, and his my time knowing him was far too short. He was just such an interesting character. You know, he and Ingo Swann, to set with both of them is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And to know that both of them became my friends.
I just wanted to say thank you, Jerry, and have a good evening, and thanks for being here and helping Kevin.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Kevin.
He's listening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jackie. All right, we'll take one more call before we call it a night. The other thing that I wanted to bring to your attention, and I talked with Kevin about this, oh, I don't know, it's been about 2 weeks ago. I want to do something to help with the membership. You know, Kevin struggles trying to keep the membership up and to pay the bills. This doesn't have commercials. He is strictly funding this through your membership. So what I'm going to do, what Kathy and I have decided, I have sitting right over here, give me a second. I don't have them in a package yet, but you see these are DVDs, and turn around the right way. Anyway, this is the entire collection of DVDs from Expeditions TV, and we're going to have a drawing. So why not tell your friends and get other people involved? And let's see exactly what we can do. Someone will be chosen to receive that. And I've got a couple of other things we're going to be doing as well. Kevin will be making those announcements in the days to come. But I'd like to see membership climb to a point to where Kevin isn't struggling to keep this show going. And I assure you, it isn't easy. What he does is really hard. So I need your support on this. I need your help with this. Let's see what we can do together. All right, we have another caller. This will be the last one of the evening. Let's try to keep it short. All right, caller, your name and where are you calling from, please?
Hi, Jerry. It's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John. How are you this evening?
Pretty good. I just wanted to say I'm really resonating with what you're saying. And I don't come from it from any unusual point of view. It's just what makes sense to me and how I think about things. And when I hear you talk, it just makes a lot of sense. And it really, I find it very powerful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate hearing that from you. You know, when a person, even yourself, when you have an opinion on something, your opinion is important to you. But when you hear other people that are like you're doing here this evening saying this to me, it really reinforces my faith in what I believe to be true and helps me to feel confident in bringing even more information forward. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much, John.
You're most welcome. Yeah, I think you're really, really on the leading edge there, and I wish you the best.
All right. Well, thank you. It's good hearing from you.
Likewise.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, folks. Oh, dear. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? It's been good sitting in for Kevin. And I've had a really good time with you folks this evening. You have made it a good show. I just could have been sitting here just wondering if anyone was listening, and you were kind enough to pick up the phone and call and share your ideas and your feelings. I appreciate that. It was very good of you to do it. And I know Kevin appreciates it as well. This is how we grow. This is how we evolve. Sharing our ideas, bringing information forward, and exposing the darkness to light. That's the Kevin Smith Show. I don't know who the guests are going to be next week. I don't really have any idea. But whoever they are, you can be sure of one thing. They're going to be very, very interesting. All right. Well, let's take this down just a touch here, so we have a couple more seconds, and I want to invite you back. If you're listening and you're in your car and you're not a member, please consider becoming a member. We're going to have a drawing for a complete set of videos from Expeditions TV, everything that we've done. In the year that's coming up, we have a trip going to the Amazon on March 1st, if we have enough people to do it. We need 8 more for it to be a sure thing. So if you've been thinking about coming along with us to the Amazon, then I invite you to join us. All right, folks, you can get a hold of me anytime at jerrywills.com or expeditionstv.com. Good night, everyone.